This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandhu.
Arvind Yuvraj.
If you'd like to get in touch with the show, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. On Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. What have we got, Jeff?
Yeah, so Maggie Bess posted a WhatsApp message saying that I have this problem that when I throw something out or give it away because I didn't use it for many, many years, the very next moment I find that I actually need that exact item. Doesn't matter, be it old clothes, books, sometimes even outdated gadgets. Does anyone else face the same dilemma?
Same. Yes.
Yeah. Same. Me too.
You know when I want to use my iPad, and it's an iPad 2.
I know where this is going.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The adapter that I have for that is one of a kind. I can't find them anywhere. And whilst I'm cleaning out my drawers, I'm like, I don't need that cable. It's useless.
Is it because your brain was triggered that, you have this item and then suddenly it's like, maybe you could use this and then it comes back to you, right?
Exactly.
I have a feeling it's that because it's not in our recollection of memory for a long time until we see it. And then we're like, yeah, I don't need this. 5 years since I last saw this. Throw it away. Next week?
Yeah.
I need that.
There's also an element of sentimentality as well, though, I think, for a lot of these things. You know, like, little things, like you throw a book out, you're like, I don't need that book, it's rubbish. And you're like, I could just do with reading that Snoopy book.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Does it spark joy?
Any more messages, Arvind? What have we got?
Yeah, so this comes from KJM01SH522, who says that, not true, I'm a messy person myself, I admit, but being neat will make you find items better. Like finding tons of consignment notes for delivery is 100 times faster after sorting them according to the number in the order forms. Matt Armitage also says people at messy desks probably have faster access to information, but it's a flawed system. No one else can find the information but her or him. Probably a more pressing question is why anyone needs to have a messy paper-strewn desk when most information is available digitally.
Talking about having faster access to information leads nicely onto my next story. Thank you, Matt Armitage. And it's one of his favourite topics and people. It's Mr. Elon Musk. Yeah. Right. So there was an announcement made last year that a Chinese scientist, Dr. He Jiankui, has used gene editing technique CRISPR and managed to create, arguably, the world's first genetically modified babies. At the same time, Elon Musk announced the true purpose of Neuralink. So he's just, it's a little task he's got before him. His plan for the company is to save the human race. Elon.
Yeah.
So the idea behind saving humanity is to build a hard drive that can be implanted in the brain. We've had this discussion before a while ago. Now, he said something that really kind of resonated with me. And I explained it to Jeff a little bit earlier on today. And he talks about how technically, and you know what? My media lecturer said this back to me in university way back in, whenever it was, I'm not going to reveal. But he said, if you're wearing a digital watch of any kind, you, to a degree, you're a cyborg. You know, you've integrated technology into your body or on your body. And as we move forward, of course, we take as much advantage of our mobile devices as we can, technically still making us a cyborg. And we have access to ridiculous amounts of information at our fingertips. But Elon argues that process is slow. We have to think about our question. We have to look at our phone. We have to translate looking through our fingers and our thumbs to search on our devices before we get back the response that we are looking for. Elon's only argument with this thing about putting a chip in your head is like, you don't need to use your hands. You don't need to use your fingers. You don't need to use your eyes. That information will just be there immediately. Now, when he uses an argument like that, part of me sits up and goes, actually, that sounds like a good idea.
But then that doesn't make you human anymore, because then, like, what's
it
the
does.
Point?
It makes
of
you an augmented human.
It makes you a cyborg in a way, because what's the purpose of a human body when you can just think of something like that? Like,
okay.
God, like, it's scary. I mean, I like the idea to be able to have a chip and then just like, you know what, today I'm going to learn Kung Fu.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's the Matrix thing, right? I love it. I love the idea. But when it comes to reality, I'm like, ooh, it's a bit creepy, because then it's just like, I don't know what the other guy next to me kind of knows, because it's like everyone
will be the same
and yet so different and specialized in certain things. And I don't know. It's so scary.
It's like a Hive.
Yeah.
So where? What's the library like? Where is it pulling information from?
Nobody knows yet.
Yeah.
No one knows yet.
This is just a theoretical idea of the capabilities of it, right?
Okay.
I think one of the arguments, though, is that a lot of people kind of saw this as being technology and a tool that's only available to the wealthy and to the rich, right? But Apple didn't get rich by selling their devices to rich people. They were smart enough to go, okay, everybody wants one of these. Let's make it right at the beginning available to as many people as we can. So I think that argument is kind of moot.
But also for Elon Musk to sit down one day while having his cup of coffee and to think that, you know what, I'm going to start a company and we're going to save the human race. And then, you know, maybe he'll share this idea with a few of his friends and then his friends will go like, what's wrong with the human race? And then his argument would be like, yeah, you know, so if I ask you a question, you have to pull out your phone and then you go onto Google and then you type in the search and then you get the result. That's slow. You're like, really? I don't see that as a problem, Elon. Why?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Like, oh, come on, Elon. Like, you're crazy. But I kind of love that crazy.
But the kind of longer form argument of that, I suppose, is that you bring the intelligence level of everybody, of humanity to a degree, up to the same level. And at one point, we all agree that what we're doing is wrong. You know, the way in which you know, we pollute things and we do all of these horrible things to our planet that we live on. But you have to educate people to a certain level for them to understand that. And once they're at that point, that's when that change will kind of happen, right? And I think something like this would...
If it goes that way.
Right.
All of us think that something is wrong. But right. There are some places where we know the majority is, so they lean towards like, you know, the wrong people.
Right.
Or the wrong kind of ideology and stuff.
Yep.
So when that happens, and if that's the hive, the bigger hive mentality, then what happens to the people who don't think that way?
Well, I mean, if you've got a chip in your head, they can control you anyway, right?
Then that's the thing. So then it goes down to, I know Matt will bring us like, but then who owns this chip?
Correct.
Like, you know, who then creates this data that, you know, gets sense to your chip and that you learn from this, right?
Exactly.
Who's doing this? Is this a collective individuals or is this one company? Is it Elon Musk himself doing this, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, these are all the discussions and the arguments that going forward we're going to have to talk about as well. But there's the other idea of like, once you've got this chip in your head, and we were joking and we were a little bit kind of disgusted, I think, by how in China some of the schools are implanting chips in their uniforms, right?
Yeah.
You've got one of these things in you. You know, so does the idea of like being able to think about anything and have an answer for anything, does that outweigh the fact that you will forever be able to be located on the planet wherever you are?
That's so scary to think that if there's a chip in kids that are going to school, for example, right, in their brain itself. So then, like, you know, you can't be late to school ever again because at 7:30 or, well, at 6:30, your chip will just buzz and zap you up to wake you up and then will just sort of direct you to go and shower, direct you to, you know, eat your breakfast and go to school. You're all just robots.
It's like that scene from Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Where they're all just like one horde of people.
Yeah.
Right. Retailers are in a tough spot, you know. Shrinking profit margins, copycat manufacturing, fierce competition. To survive, you need to be better than just good. You need to be exceptional. And being exceptional comes down to one thing, the experience. This year, our flagship retail-centric event, Enterprise Rocks, looks at new ways retailers are getting their experience right to the consumers. Join us for our Enterprise Rocks Roadshow with CK Chang of Oxwhite and Julie Ung of VaseVase.ai, happening on Wednesday, 23rd of January at 3 p.m. in CO3 Social Office at Puchong. To get a free seat, email your name, your IC number, and phone number to events@bfm.my. So we've got to do. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we're going to have a bit of a giggle or a bit of a Google at the most Googled tech questions by U.S. state. Didn't he serve burgers to his... oh, my word.
Time for a break.
Hamburgers.
What?
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the tweet, that misspelled tweet. Yeah, Hamburgers.
That man's a genius, you know.
He's
a genius. Music coming up. Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. Stop! BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.